Good morning. We're going to begin this morning with number 228. While you're looking that up, I'll read the announcements for the remainder of the day and the week. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we would bow our knees before Thee this morning, we're truly thankful for Your watch care, for Your protection. We're thankful, Father, for the gifts that You have given unto us, for Your patience with us, for Your long-suffering. I ask, Father, that You would look down upon us and see our hearts and our minds, that You would be pleased to bless us this day, Father, with Thy word, that You would place Your Spirit upon the one who will stand before us, that You give them liberty of thought and expression. And I pray for those of us who will be hearing Thy word, that our hearts and our minds would be open, that we'd be able to use these words to better serve You. I pray, Father, that You would look down upon the sick and afflicted that we have in our midst. Those that have the physical needs of life, I ask, Father, that Thy Holy Spirit would be poured out upon them. Upon those that have the spiritual and emotional needs, Father, I ask Your blessing upon them also. I ask that You would forgive us the weaknesses that we have, that You'd strengthen us, that You'd help us to resist the forces and the powers of the adversary, that he would even flee from us. If it be Thy will, Father, that Thou'd rebuke him for Your name's sake. I thank You, Father, for this place that we have to worship Thee. I thank You for being able to come away from the world for a few moments and to draw our thoughts and our desires in unto You. We're thankful for the safe return of our brothers and sisters who were traveling these last few weeks. And I pray, Father, that You continue to to bless the work of the gospel in these latter days, that you'd bless those who are laboring at this time, that you would guide and direct their footsteps, that you'd keep them safe from harm and from danger. So, Father, we leave ourselves now in thy care, asking, Father, as our sister Kim would be administered to this morning, that thy Holy Spirit would be in attendance, that you'd be with her and with the servants who would perform this ordinance, that they would be filled with the gift and with the power of thy Holy Spirit. For we ask it, Father, in the name of Christ. Amen. Let's continue with the use of number 127, 127. Administration to take care of, Sister Kim. Brother Joel. I'm sure that most everyone knows our brother. It's a privilege to have him here today to impart the Word of God. I would ask that you would give him your prayerful attention, that the Lord may impart some words of wisdom to us. Offer your silent prayers in his behalf that he would be led by the Spirit. For I know as he has prepared himself, I know he has been used by God many times, and I trust that he'll be used this day. So I give it to you, our elder, Brother Ricky Olson.
I'd like to thank you this morning for your prayers. And I'm happy to be here and have an opportunity to speak with you this morning. I'd like to start in Matthew, 25th chapter. This is the parable of the the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, and the 5 foolish. And this is a scripture that's familiar to all of us. We've heard it read many times. But I'd like to read it just to refresh our memories. Then the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And I've thought about this parable and how that applies to us today. And I've thought about the 5 wise virgins and the 5 foolish virgins. And considered what was similar between the two of them. And in this parable, they're both groups, the 5 wise and the unwise, were both virgins. And to me, that would mean that if they're to be virgins before God, they would be pure before God, and not having any other God before them but the God, our Heavenly Father. And so in that, they're the same. But yet one of them was foolish, one group, and one group was wise. And we know that the bride in this parable, or the virgins, might represent the Church of Christ. And so those virgins would be those that have been baptized in the Church of Christ and have received upon them the name of Christ and confessed His name and have repented of their sins. And yet, 5 of them are considered wise and 5 of them are considered foolish. We know that the bridegroom would be Christ. So I've thought about them and what makes them wise and what makes them foolish. In 2 Nephi, chapter 6, verses 57 well, back up to 55. And they are restored to that God who gave them breath, which is the Holy One of Israel. But woe unto him that hath the law given, yea, that hath all commandments of God, like unto us, and hath transgressed them, and that wasteth the days of his probation, for awful is his state. O the cunning plan of the evil one! O the vanities and the frailties and the foolishness of men! When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God, for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Wherein their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them not. Wherefore they shall perish. But to be learned is good, if it is so that they hearken unto the counsels of God. So I thought about those virgins, the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, both of them being part of the church, and the wise ones would be those that would hearken unto the word of God and listen to his counsel, and the foolish might be those that know the word of God and don't follow his commandments. And then in that, they've become foolish. And so then I've looked at that some more, and I thought, well, were they foolish because they took no oil, or did they have no oil because they were foolish? And so I thought about what that oil is. And I think that oil is, are the works of those virgins. Because if the wise virgins followed after the word of God, they would have those works in their lives. And the foolish virgins, if they only heard the word of God and not took it into their lives and not acted upon it, they would not have those works. So I think that oil are the works that we have to do here on earth. And I know that sometimes I've heard this taught that that oil is the spiritual gifts of God. But if we look in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter verse 18, and it says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him." And they're talking about, in this chapter is talking about the works, and if you read the beginning in the first verse of 12 Corinthians, it talks about all the manifestations and the gifts of the Spirit and how each one has gifts awarded to each individually, and each one of those gifts are given according to as what pleases God. And these 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins made a choice. It doesn't say that God gave them oil in their lamps, but they had to make a choice. So I think that oil is not the gifts of the Spirit, but that oil is the works of those virgins. Also, I can read in the Book of Mormon, in Moroni on page 776, verses 12 and 13, and it says, "All these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, and they all come to every man severally according as he will. And I will exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that every good gift cometh of Christ." So I think that this oil is not those gifts that God gives us. It's the works that we must do. And I think about it further down in it, and the 5 wise had oil sparingly, and the 5 foolish ran out. They had some oil, but not enough. So they had done some of these works, but what they had done in their works wasn't quite enough. So I've thought about that, is that there might be something more specific to what that oil is. And so, in Alma, chapter 19, on page 450, starting in verse 59, "And my son, this is the restoration of which has been spoken of by the mouths of the prophets. And then shall the righteous shine forth in the kingdom of God. Behold, an awful death cometh upon the wicked, for they die as to the things pertaining to the things of righteousness, for they are unclean, and no unclean thing can inherit the kingdom of God. but they are cast out and consigned to partake of the fruits of their labors or their works, which have been evil, and they drink the dregs of a bitter cup. So the lack of that oil, or that oil, must be the good works that we do. And not the evil works. Because the reward of those evil works would be to be cast out and not to be allowed into the kingdom of heaven. And in James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may see he has faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So that oil must not be faith, must not be just faith. It must also be works. Because if our faith hath not works, our faith would be dead. So that convinces me even more that oil is our works. And not our faith, and not the gifts that God so chooses to give us. If we read further on in the 25th chapter of Matthew, we come to the parable of the talents. And it says, for the kingdom of heaven is, starting in the 14th verse, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. Well, those talents that he's talking about here, those might be the gifts of God that he so chooses to give us. Those things that he wants us to do for him, whether it be the gift of teaching or preaching, or healing, but he gave to those servants each different talents. Now in this parable, talents is money. And further on we can read how some of those servants took those talents and invested in it, and they returned unto the Lord a greater portion than he had given unto them. And so they had taken those talents and they committed a work with those talents, and it grew. And when the Lord returned, we can read what happened. Starting in the 19th verse, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said unto the Lord, Thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And the Lord said unto them, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he, which had received the 1 talent, came and said unto the Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, lo, and there thou hast that is thine. And the Lord said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strewn. Thou oughtst therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. So I think this oil must be like this talent. We've got to make it grow. We've got to hear the word of God. We've got to act on his commandments. And we have to keep it growing in our lives so that we don't run out. And the slothful servant who took the talent that the Lord gave him, and he didn't do any works with it. He hid it into the ground. He was unprofitable, and he just buried it away. He had little oil, and what he had was taken away and given to the others. So I think this oil is the works. And I think it might be, more specifically, if we apply that to the gospel, not just our works, but what we do with the gospel. We can read in, we've read in the parable of the talents, the servant that took the gift that God gave him and he hid it into the ground, and it didn't prosper. And when the Lord returned, he didn't have anything else to give back to him. And then we read about the ones that took the five, and he brought back 10 more. And the one that buried it into the ground, he would be like the unwise virgin, not taking what God had given him, and not laboring with it, and not building it up to give back. And the one that had the 10, and the one that had the 2, or the 5, and the one that had the 2, they were like the wise virgins. They took that which God gave them, and they built it up, and they spread it around, and it grew. And when the Lord returned, they gave it back to him. And the Lord said, Enter into my rest. Welcome unto my kingdom. Just like in the parable of the virgins, the 5 wise were welcomed into the kingdom of God. So when I think of that, how to apply that to our lives today? How do we take what God's given us and build it up into more? Well, in Matthew 5th chapter, starting in the verse 10, it says, Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. For to be the salt of the earth, then we must do something to season the earth if we're to be good salt. If we're bad salt, will be trodden under the foot of men, not good for anything. So what that led me to believe, think about what is it that I have to do to season the earth? What is it that I should be doing for God to be the salt of the earth? And I believe that's my works, the things that I do in this life, making my little part of the world a better place, helping the person in need, helping the widow, doing all those things. Those are the things that it's part of what makes us the salt of the earth. But also it's something else. I believe it's what we do to spread the gospel of Christ. I think God teaches us in a lot of ways. He teaches us one concept and adds upon that concept another, and upon the next one another. And He doesn't vary in what He teaches. And He's a good parent, and He's consistent, and He doesn't vary in how He teaches us. And He teaches us that if our faith hath not works, that it is dead. Well, if I think about the gospel, and I apply that to the gospel to me personally, and if I hear the word of God, and I accept the word of God, and I do all that He tells me, but I hold it within myself, and I don't share it, and it goes nowhere else but with me, then it dies. Then it doesn't grow. And I think that's how it is with the gospel. And I think that's part of our responsibility, and part of that oil is for us to take this gospel out to the world and to share it with our friends and to share it with those that we're acquainted with. And that's part of our responsibility as Christians, that we do that. And that's part of that oil. Not just the works that we do by His commandment, those things that are our responsibility to do, but it's also our responsibility to be the salt of the earth and to season it and to make it a better place and to help spread the gospel. And if we hide it under a rock, if we bury it in the ground like the unfaithful servant, then it dies and it doesn't get spread. And when the Lord came and went to receive what was His from the unfaithful servant, He told him, "You ought to have been taking that my money and put it out to usury, because the Lord reaps where He doesn't sow." So it's part of our responsibility to spread those seeds. We have to be out there spreading the seeds of the gospel and spreading the word. And when we spread those seeds, it's up to God to come back and harvest what is His. But it's our responsibility to be the salt of the earth and to spread those seeds. I'd like to read and go back to the 25th chapter of Matthew. So I think that's what made the five wise virgins wise, is they had oil in their lamps. And the foolish, they didn't do that. They didn't commit works in their lives that were good unto God. They didn't spread the gospel. They didn't do those things that the Lord would require. And then midnight came, starting in verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight came, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out." And I don't know if this is a good analogy, but I think about the work of the gospel in the recent years that's been in the Church of Christ, how it's been spread through the Philippines and through Africa. And I look at that, and I see all the numbers that have been added to the church, and how the Church of Christ was before that. It was almost as if it were asleep. And maybe that's not a good analogy, but I think possibly we're in that time when we're to come awake And we're to have oil in our lamps. And so I'm going to put my recorder's hat on for a little bit. And this year, conference report, there was, if I can remember the number, 734 baptisms recorded for the Philippines and Africa and Honduras and Mexico. And I didn't get them all recorded. I didn't have time, but that's how many I had recorded. And in the United States was 21. And that was all of the ones in the United States. And so I'm wondering if we're not falling down on our job a little bit in keeping that oil in our lamps and being the salt of the earth and doing our part to spread the seeds of the gospel, so that when the Lord comes and he begins to gather in his harvest, there is something there for him to gather in. So I wonder about that. And I'd like to read out of the book of Revelation. In the third chapter, starting in the 13th verse. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Before I stand at the door and knock, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with the Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I think about the church in the United States, and I think about this church and how we are rich with wealth. We don't struggle for much. Even those, and I heard it last week, Sunday, in the sermon, that even the poorest of us have it better than many of the people in these countries that we go to. And so we have a danger here. We have the same danger that this church had, that we're neither cold nor hot, that we may lose our zeal. And so when I look at those numbers of what's going on in these other countries and what's going on here in the United States, I wonder if our zeal has lacked a little bit and that we've lost a little bit of that zeal that causes us to be the salt of the earth. It causes us to spread the seeds of the gospel from one mouth to the next. And so I think we should look at this warning and really consider it. And really consider it as what we must do. And in here there's instructions. And they're to anoint their eyes with eye salve that they might see. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to anoint our eyes with eye salve that we can see. And how do we do that is we can study Scripture. and we can learn more and study so that we know what it is that we believe and so that we can carry that out and teach once we see. And we can pray. And that's another way we can anoint our eyes with eye salve, is we can pray to our Heavenly Father and ask Him what it is His will in our lives and what we should do. And so I think we have that as a responsibility, especially here, because we can become overwhelmed with those things of this physical life and with the comforts and the ease and the pleasures of this world, and not see where we've gone astray and not see where we error. We went to, just as a little side note, we went to out of Africa this week, and in there we went to a lion show, and they would tempt the lion. The lion, they had these big, I don't know if how many have been there, but they have these big blow-up toys, and they put them on a stick, and they make the point to tell that these lions aren't trained, and this is the natural behavior of these lions. And the stick was so long, and then on the end of it they had about a 5-foot rope, and then they'd have these bright toys attached to it, and they would shake it around in front of the lion and tempt the lion and get the lion to chase after the toy. Well, the announcer said that there's always a little bit of a danger that the lion might decide that the toy's not so interesting after all, that it's the guy on the end of the stick that's more interesting. And so I think that's kind of what the devil does to us. We're the lion, and he's got a stick. And he's shaking this stick, and on the end of the stick, we're looking at that toy on the end of the stick and not seeing the bigger picture and not seeing what he's really doing. And we're so concentrated on that toy that's on the end of the stick, and before you know it, we've gone after it and we've got it, and the bigger and the better prey has gotten away. And they do this in this show time and time again, and those that work with the lions are confident enough that that lion by nature is going to go after that toy every time. And so I think that's the danger that we're in, that we have to be careful, that we're not watching over here, and in the bigger picture there's another danger over here. You know, and so we can sit back and say, all is well in Zion. Look at all the baptisms and all the increase in Christ's church in the last few years in all these foreign countries, and not realize what we're lacking right here in our own home country, not realizing the things that we're letting slide and the things that we're letting slip. So we need to anoint our eyes with eye salve and to pray unto God and do those things in our lives and set those things apart that are hindering the work here. That we can go out and sow those seeds here in this country as well. And it's not up to us to say within ourselves that no one's going to listen, because it is God that calls to men and not us. Our part is just to provide the opportunity to hear. And some will hear and some won't. Those seeds, just in the parable of the sower, some of them will fall on fertile ground and some of them will fall on rocky ground, and some will grow and some will not. But the seeds had to be strewn and the seeds had to be sown. And so that's a responsibility that we have. I'd like to read a kind of gotten out of order. Read a scripture in 2 Nephi on page 154. Chapter 12, starting in verse 19. Chapter 12. Woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and revel against that which is good, and say that it is of no worth. For the day shall come that the Lord will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth, and in that day they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent for their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. But behold, the great and abominable church of the whore of all the earth must tumble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance. For the devil will grasp them with the everlasting chains, with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir up to anger against which is good. And others will he pacify, and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And the devil cheateth their souls, and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. Well, I think that's the danger that we have facing us. That if we're not careful, that we'll be led around like that lion, thinking all is well, and not seeing the bigger picture, and that the devil will lead our souls down to hell carefully, and that we won't even see it, and that we won't even know it, because we'll have left part of our responsibility undone. And that responsibility may be spreading the gospel, or it may be each to each one he requires differently, but to each of us he requires us to do our part in spreading the gospel. And so I'd like to read for a closing scripture out of the Book of Mormon. And this is the account of Alma baptizing at the waters of Mormon. And I'd like to start in the 39th verse. Well, I'll start in the 38th verse. And it came to pass that he said unto them, behold, here are the waters of Mormon, for thus they are called. And now, as they were desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called his people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times, in all things, and in all places, that they may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God, and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord as a witness before him, that ye have entered unto a covenant with him, that ye will serve him and keep his commandments, that he may pour out his Spirit more abundantly upon you. And now when the people had heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and excitement. This is the desires of our hearts. It was their desire that they witnessed of God or Christ. Wherever they were, whoever they were with, wherever their situation might be, and they clapped their hands for joy, and they had a zeal. And so this is my wish, that we find that zeal here amongst us, and that someday we'll look at that recorder's report, and we'll see baptisms in the United States. Maybe not as many as in the other countries, But that's not up to us. We have to do our part. And it may be. And it is prophesied that the Church of Christ will be small upon the world, small in numbers. And we're so small now that we could be 100 times bigger than we are, and we would still be small if you realize how many people are in the world. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your prayers.
Let's use number 120 to close today. Number 120. Shall we stand? Our heads. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this time that we spent together, we're truly thankful. Thankful for this place you provided, thankful that you have called us from this world. Thankful, Father, that you are mindful of us, and even in our weakness, you have blessed us, Father, and I ask for the strength of thy Spirit always to be upon us. Help us to have that oil in our lamps, Father, that we may be found pleasing in thy sight. We may find entrance into thy kingdom. Now, as we go our separate ways, I pray, Father, that you would go with us to keep us safe from harm and danger, to keep our hearts pure and righteous until we meet together again. And I ask it in the name of Christ. Amen.